I recently read there were three young fathers in a waiting room, and as they were waiting for their children to be born, these three fathers, the nurse would come out and give them the announcement. And the first was told that his wife gave birth to twins. And he was amazed and said, "I play for the Minnesota Twins." And so he had twins, you know. Then later, the same nurse came out a few hours later and told the second man, "Congratulations, you're the father of triplets." And he's like, "That's amazing, I work for 3M. And the next man to him then fainted. And when he woke up, he asked him what was wrong. He said, "I work for 7-Up. You're right, Jeremy? Did your dad ever pass out come bill time? If I see the food budget, it's like, oh. Let's read together Luke chapter 15. I'll begin on verse number 11. You come in responsively on verse number 12. And we'll do that all the way down to verse number 24. And then today, I want to give you a message I've entitled, "Worthy of Having a Prodigal." I'll catch the title. We'll explain it in a moment. "Worthy of Having a Prodigal." It says in verse number 11, he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." Watch this next phrase. "When he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants? My fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee.'" Look at verse number 19 and watch this phrase again. "And I am and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight." Watch this phrase again. "And am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found," and they began to be merry. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this morning, for the hymns that have been sung, the testimonies that have been given, the special music that we've enjoyed. And now today, as we come to the most important part of the service, the teaching and preaching of your word, may our hearts be right with you today. May our hearts be receptive and open to receive your word. Father, I pray that you would fill the need and the void in each person's life. Father, I ask you also for your help as I preach, Lord. May I be surrendered to you, Father. May your will be done in this place. We'll thank you, Father, today and give you all the honor and glory for it. We ask in your name. Amen. You may be seated. I recently went to a conference a few months back, and as I was in that conference, it was a preaching morning and evening, and I believe it was the first night as we was there, a preacher got me preached on how to receive the prodigal son when they come back. And his big push was that he was preaching to many preachers. He was preaching on how to receive church members or people in the church that have left and been angry, and now through redemption that they've been brought back to church, and how to receive them into your church and how to welcome them back and treat them properly and not as somehow they're lepers or, you know, they're less than your church, you know, they're less than anybody else. It was a great message, and he repeated in this message the phrase that we see in verse number 21, "And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son." As he repeated that phrase a few times, it popped into my mind. He felt in his mind, "I'm no more worthy to be called a son of my father." But the father was worthy of having a prodigal. He was worthy of having a prodigal. There was something about this father that made him worthy of being a prodigal's father. Not every man can say that he's worthy of being a prodigal's father. Today I want to expound that thought to you today. What makes this man a unique father? Who's worthy? You know, we think, well, I'm worthy to have a king as a son. And your son very well could be a king. Well, I'm worthy of having, I want my son to be a CEO or a president of some company or successful. And we all want our children to do better than we have done. We, hopefully as fathers, we have provided for them a better place than we grew up in and have pushed them along, give them a head start in life than perhaps where we have started from. Some of you as fathers, you've had to become, bring a new heritage in your family. You didn't grow up in a Christian home with a godly father, so you had to begin a new heritage and give your children a head start in life. Some of you have continued the heritage that you've been given, and we praise God for both. But what about the prodigal son? What makes a father worthy of having a prodigal? Today I want to give you some thoughts today about that. We notice that first of all, this son. Of course, you've heard the song that was sung this morning as it touched right in line with the message today. But here we have a man with two sons. And of course, we find that we believe, of course, a hardworking man, a man that had been hardworking, industrious, and had raised his children, and of course, probably, you know, lived on a farm and doing agricultural work. And the young son just got discontent with the routine of life, with the routine of farm work, with maybe going to church on Sunday and Wednesday nights, and just got tired. And he got his eyes on the far country. And he had begun to hear about the far country, about how easy it was to live there and how fun it was and the parties and the popularity and perhaps even the temptation of girls was there and all these things that he had missed on the farm. Now his heart and his allure was in that far country. And of course, the more he thought about it and dwelled about it, the more he rebelled. Finally, one day he said to his father, "Give me my portion of goods that belong to me." And not many days after he left and went to a far country. And what happens to this prodigal son happens to every prodigal that ever leaves the will of God. The pleasures of sin only last for a season. And he had a great time for a short season. He lived it up. He thought, you know what? They warned me about this stuff, but I can't see what's so wrong with it. I'm having a great time. I've got all kinds of friends. This life is not so bad. All those old funny church people and my old-fashioned dad, you think you can see me now. It's not that bad. Well, life has a way of coming around. The famine came in the land. This young man's money that he thought he could live on for a long time, as many do, soon expired and was gone. He didn't realize the cost of living, the things that his father had done for him and paid and provided, and now it was on him, and now his money was gone, and his friends that he thought he once had are no longer there. No man would give to him. As he hungered and thirsted, as he had great need, the friends that he had around him when he had money in his pockets and money to spend, and he was the life of the party, now they're gone, and they had no one to give to him. And so we find this young Jewish boy in a pig pen. And the word vain there in verse 16 was a word that means happily. He happily, eagerly would have fed himself with the husk, with the slop that the hogs did eat. But the Bible says, verse 17, and when he came to himself. I want to say to you this morning, if you are living in rebellion, and only you know that, that's not for me to decide, point a finger at. But today, you know if you're hard, if you're living in rebellion, you are not in your right mind. You're not living. Your mindset is skewed. You are not living in your right mind or heart. It's been influenced by the world. It's been influenced by your flesh. It's been influenced by demonic influences. You've been influenced and you're not in your right mind. And so this young man, when he finally came to himself, we're at the very bottom. Unfortunately, for so many folks, they come to the bottom before they finally, something jars them and they begin to think about where they're at and what they once had. So when he came to a far, when he came to himself, he realized that he longed for a far country. He had taken what he had for granted. His father he become so much more now. What he had in that old country house, what he had on the farm, what he had in the church house was more than what he thought he had. He had taken it for granted. He had wasted his substance on righteous living. He had placed no value on what his father had built. He had placed this substance that he had was a gift from his father, a portion his father had built for him and was going to give him, but he had placed no value on it. You see, he wasted what he's been given when he was in his wrong mindset. He said he would fain have filled his belly with the husk of the swine. The far country is not what it advertised. And the far country, by the way, has no grace or mercy. Sometimes we think, well, God's a hard God. Oh, God's a great God. He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. It's the world, it's sin that has no grace or mercy. The far country that we go into, we think, in the far country, it will be great. I no longer have to be under my parents' authority. I no longer have to hear the preacher preach. No more hard preaching. No more standards. No more living right. I'm going to live. But the far country, oh yeah, it's easy to live there. But the far country has no grace. It has no mercy. It never knows when is enough's enough. But when you're down and when you're out and broken, it continues to persecute you and hurt you and wound you over and over again. It has no grace. It has no mercy. And this young man, he realized this in the pig pen. We often, when he came to himself, he realized what kind of man he had for a father. There are no perfect fathers except Brother Urban, I guess. He may be a perfect father, but he's no perfect church member, so he has a strike against him. But this young man, he didn't realize what he had until now he's in the pig pen. We oftentimes we don't realize the Father's blessings until we're living in the devil's pig pen. In the valley, the young man now, he's going to go back to his father. Thank God for that. You can always come back to the Father. But let me tell you something. Let's look at the Father for a moment here this morning as we lay off this event that took place. What made the Father worthy of being a prodigal son? Not every father is equipped of a son like this. Not every father can handle that. This man, if the son said, Dad, I know I'm worthy to be called thy son. This man was worthy of having a prodigal. What made him worthy? Let me give you this morning a few thoughts about that. I want you to notice with me, number one, is this, the father's character. The father's character. We find in verse number 12 that the young man said, Father, give to me the portion of goods that falleth to me. The father labored to provide a portion of goods to his sons. Where does goods come from? His father's labor. He had great character. 2 Corinthians 12:14 says, for the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. So his father realized it's not my job it's not my children's job to provide for me, it's my job to provide for them. He had great character, he provided a portion of goods, and it's commendable if you're able to lay up some earthly goods for your children. But more than that, this Christ-like father gave his children a godly heritage. He had character. He labored and he worked. He built a farm. He built a business. He had some things saved for his family. But more than his earthly goods, he gave them a godly heritage to hang on to. He had great character. Psalms 127 says this, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for he giveth his beloved sleep. The Lord says here, unless I build your home, it's empty and vain what you do. And oh, if we realize that as parents, that we can do it, we can labor, we can work, we can shed tears, we can sacrifice, but unless we do things God's way, how we build our home is in vain. It must be done. It was going to last for eternity. It must be done with God's help and God's way. This father built his home in this manner. It was a place where God was honored. God was lifted up. A place of prayer. It was a household of faithfulness and of faith. The Lord built the house there. The Lord was building the home. A place where marriage was highly esteemed. I think the greatest gift, besides the gift of faith a man can give to his children, is to love their mother. The great security, the blessing to watch a father love his wife unconditionally and unceasingly and with passion and care and concern. Speaks volumes to children that my dad loves my mom. And this is the kind of home that this son grew up in. A father had character and esteemed marriage highly. We live in a day and age where marriage is not esteemed highly. It's thought of so little. It's trash. It's put away. It's just held in the view of contempt. But may I remind you, those that are married, you made a vow to God. You said, I do until death do us part, before the preacher and before the church members and before God. You said, I'm going to esteem marriage. And this man had character. And his son remembered that. This home was a home of godly standards and clear boundaries. This son, in his rebellion, balked against these standards, against these boundaries. As so many times we tend to do. Hardly anybody here today loves authority. Hardly anybody here today loves standards and boundaries and says, you know what, hold me accountable. We don't like that kind of thing, but it's needful. It's helpful. It's required. And sons and daughters thrive with their standards and boundaries. So we find here that his father's character, he provided a portion of goods to his sons, but he also provided a portion of goods to others. Verse number 17, the Bible says that when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants to my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. The father labored to provide a portion of goods to others. You see, as I look at that, I want to make a spiritual application. That a man of faith will labor to give others the bread of life. Here you see that the son says, my dad, he provides bread enough for others to eat and they have enough to spare. And out here in the pig pen, I'm starving outside my father's house. And the father, he cared about people and others. So he also provided others a way to get the bread of life. He was a great soul winner. He was a great witness for the cause of Christ. And pointed folks to Jesus. Did not Jesus Christ say in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. And this man, I believe this man here in our story today, was a godly man that built a house of faith, but he also pointed others to Jesus Christ. So we notice just briefly his character. Then I want you to notice this morning this briefly as well, his consistency, the father's consistency. Verse 18, the Bible says, I will arise and go to my father. There was a father in a father's house to go back to. Think about that for a moment. So I will arise and I will go back. I will go to my father. There was a father in a father's house to go back to. The father, now watch this, and I think this is one of the most important points of a message this morning. The father in the house remained faithful and steadfast. Not only was, as a son grew up, was the father a godly man, man of character, a man of faith, but when the son left the father's house and he went to a far country, the father did not change. The home did not change, but it remained consistent, and the young man said, I can always go back to my father. He did not change. He's still a man of faith, a godly man. I can go back to my father. We find the father stayed steadfast and faithful. The father didn't get mad at God, and the church had become bitter and angry. He could have said, the father could have said, you know what, I've raised my kids to do right, and I put them in church, I put them in a Christian school, or I homeschool them, now my son is gone. And he could have got mad at God or the church, got bitter. Bitterness would have destroyed the home of faith. Bitterness would have destroyed the home that faith had built. Bitterness would have left nothing for the son to come home to. But the son realized, I can go back to my father and to my father's house. The father didn't change his way of life to maintain the son's affection and approval. Now watch this. I'm watching people. You know, I'm closer on the age of 50, which is not old in my book compared. When I was 15, 50 was old. I'm like, but now I'm like, hey, man, 50 is the new 20, you know. But I've watched people. I've watched people raise their families. And as they raise their families, man, they are, you know, their kids are a little bitty and they're in church and they're raising their kids right. And they're trying to do right by the children. And they're having devotions and their prayer life. And they're knocking on doors and doing all that they possibly can do to raise their children right and point them to Jesus Christ. Then as our kids get older, begin to leave the house, Sometimes our kids don't always immediately grasp how they've been raised or trained. Sometimes they grow up in church and they turn of age and they say, no more, Dad, no more, Mama, I'm not going back there anymore. And they go off into the far country. And here's the disappointment. I watch parents change themselves then to maintain their kids' approval and affection. Whether they're staying steadfast in the faith and saying, I will not change. I will not leave the God that I love, the God that I serve. I'll not leave Him. I'll not forsake Him. They change to maintain their kids' approval or their affection. And when the children one day hit rock bottom, they have nowhere to come home to because now Mom and Dad live in the far country. The house has changed. Once where there was holiness, now there's worldliness. Once where there was purity and innocence, now alcohol and drugs fill the home. Once where there was love and godliness, now there's anger and bitterness and unforgiveness that rule the home. And now the son has no place to come home to because the father's house has become no better than the pig pen he lives in. Today I want to commend moms and dads, and I want to encourage you to be that father consistency. That though your children may not always see things the way you see them, they may not always come home and say, Mom, Dad, I'm going to live like you have taught me to live. They may for a time go into a far country. I want to commend you and I want to encourage you. Don't leave with them. Don't leave with them. Don't change your home to win their approval or their affection. You stay faithful to God Almighty. Maintain a godly home. Be consistent in your walk with God. And one day they'll come home and say, God, thank you, Mom and Dad, for being faithful to God, for being that light in a dark world. Don't ever leave the house of God. Amen. Don't ever leave. I've watched parents lower their standards, drop out of church, and they change. Then there's no faith to come home to. You see, here's what young folks think about. They remember. They remember growing up. They remember the devotions. They remember the Christian school. They remember the standards that you kept and that you made them keep. They remember the Word of God that you said amen to as a preacher preached. They remember all the changes that you made. They remember all those things. And they say this, Mom and Dad, you said, when I was little, it was important. You said it was truth. You said it was real. Now, Mom and Dad, what is it? What is real? What is truth? Where is God? Is God at the old-fashioned church? Is God in the Bible? Or is this a new God that I'm supposed to worship? You see, what made this father a worthy father for prodigal is he stayed the same. He stayed the same. And his son said, I can go back to my dad. He's still a man of faith, a man of God. A man that has a godly heritage. Moms and dads today, you must maintain your godly heritage. I'm not here today to promote Baptist. I realize today that in our denominations that we're not perfect because we're not led by perfect people. We make mistakes, whether we're a deacon, a preacher, an evangelist, or a church member. We all make mistakes. We sometimes, we get in the heat of the moment, we do the wrong things. I'm telling you something, you can't point the book and say, the book is a fault, the book is a problem, the Bible's wrong, it's out of date, the Bible won't help, God's not there, God won't hear me, God did wrong. You can't point, you can say, preacher, you did wrong! And I'll say, hang my head and say, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I did wrong. But you can't point your finger at the book and say, the book is wrong. The book led me astray. You can't point your book and finger at God and say, God led me astray. God did me wrong. When you left the house of God, when you left faith, you believe the devil's lie. And now again, not only should sons come home, but now we have moms and dads that should come home and say, oh God, I'm so sorry. And come back to a household of faith. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We think that means, man, if you're a preacher, you're doing a good job, your labor is not in vain. If you're an evangelist, that's for you, your labor is not in vain. If you're a godly mom and dad, that's for you. Yeah. Your labor is not in vain. Be steadfast, be unmovable, be always abounding in the work of God. We need more homes that will say, I'm staying. Every home that I'm aware of, and I'm going to be a little I'll be kind here, but gentle. But every home that I know of today, every home has been rocked. This thing of sodomites, sodomy. I don't know of any home that has not had somebody in the family say, I'm a homosexual, I'm a queer, I'm a lesbian. And there was a time when you, sir, when you, ma'am, said, that's wrong. It's a sin against God. But now all of a sudden, because in today's age and age, we've been rocked by it. We've become accepting to it. May I say this morning, as the world changes fastly around us, moms and dads, you must maintain a godly home for your kids to come home to. Let me tell you something. If you follow the end of the sodomite crowd out, nothing ever ends in joy or peace or happiness. It always ends in despair, in loneliness, suicide, drugs. It's a terrible lifestyle to live, and they need some godly parents to say, here's a home that you can come home to, a home of faith, home of godliness. Number three, I want to continue here. And by the way, moms and dads, I want to say to you this morning, your faithfulness is a refuge to your children. I am not today who I am because of my parents. I love my parents. Both my parents are gone. They died 2 years ago, both of them. I owe them a deal of debt and appreciation. But my grandparents were the godly influence in my life. I had a great godly influence in my grandfather and my grandmother. That knew when I was in the far country. They knew I was living in the far country. They said, Eddie, we didn't stop praying for you. When I came home broken and wounded and empty, I came home to a house, same as I left it, a house of faith, a house where my grandparents still attended church, a house where my grandparents still got up in the morning and bowed their heads and prayed on their knees for their grandkids and their children and still went to church and still passed out tracts and still read their Bible and still loved people and still loved God. It was the same, and I found refuge in that. It redeemed my family, redeemed me from the far country. Moms and dads, can I tell you this morning, grandpas and grandmas, your house of faith is a refuge to your family. Amen. Number three, I must go on. Those would be the father's concern. Verse number 20, we find here the father's concern. It says that this young man, he came back to his father's house, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. And he ran to him and had compassion on him and kissed his neck and hugged him. Notice to me the father's concern. The father never gave up on his wayward son. Never gave up. No doubt he spent time in prayer on his knees. God bless my boy. God save my son. God bring my son home. My grandparents told me, Eddie, when you were living in Indiana, we knew you weren't going to church anymore. We prayed for you that God bring you back. We prayed for you. And those prayers were answered, and God helped me through those prayers. The father watched down the road. I can just imagine this father and his wife every day would look down the road, that old country road, look down the road, and they would say, is he coming home today? They'd see some dust in the horizon, and they'd see somebody walking. Is that him? Is that my boy? And one day, after many days of prayer and faithfulness, one day they again saw the dust on the road, and then one day begin to look again, and one day, is that my boy? Is that my son? And mama said, wait a minute, Daddy, it looks, that's his walk. It looks like him. That's his walk. That's the way he holds himself. It looks like him. That's his silhouette, Daddy. And he went, and the father left where he was sitting on the porch and ran down the country lane and grabbed his son. But he had great concern for him. The father was ready to forgive. Too much anger and unforgiveness and bitterness is destroying relationships among moms and dads and children. This father was a lot like my God. My God is always ready to forgive. Psalms 86:5 says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy, and unto all them that call upon thee. The Father, you know, again, I can only use my example, I'm not here to brag, but my testimony. I can remember when we moved back from Indiana to Iowa, broken, nothing. Our marriage almost broken, spiritually broken, bankrupt, no money in our pockets, we were dead broke. And how God forgave us so quickly and so easily. Restored us. Healed us spiritually. Healed our marriage. Put us in a good church and place us in the ministry eventually one day. God is watching. He's ready. Sometimes we think, well, if I come back and get right, God's going to point out all my faults. God's going to hug your neck and kiss you, welcome you home. God's a great God that loves. Number four is lastly, don't you notice this about the Father? Worthy of being a prodigal son, the Father's compassion. Not just his concern, but his compassion. We find in verse 21 and 22 that the Father, then we find that he begins to, as a son begins to say, I've sinned against you, Dad. Not worthy to be called thy son. The Father then says to the son, to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Make hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. Here's what I thought, here's what my thoughts about that are. The father is not ashamed to claim his son as his own. This son didn't come back in good condition. He came back a mess. This Jewish boy didn't come home in a business suit and tie, carrying a briefcase, driving a Rolls Royce Camel. He came back broken. He had no shoes on his feet. They were gone. His robes, his clothes had been tattered and torn and worn out. And on his body, on his person, was a stench of the pig pen. Hay and straw and fodder in his hair. Broken and in despair. And as he throws himself on the mercy of his Father, Father, forgive me, I've sinned. Just make me a servant. He said, you're not my servant, you're my boy. Amen. Hey, bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. He belongs to me. Amen. It wasn't ashamed to call him his son, call him his own. He put a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet. See, he restored his position. He verified his identity and renewed his walk. Said, he's my son, put a robe on him. He restored his position. He gave him a ring that says, I belong to Dad. Give him new shoes that says, I'm going to walk with my Father. And when you come back to God, God is not ashamed to call you his own. He doesn't hang his head in shame and say, yeah, that's mine. You know, there are sometimes kids do things to embarrass the fire out of parents. I remember when we first got married, you know, the best parents are those that are newly married and have no kids. Those are the best parents in the world. And so we'd go, my wife and I, as newlyweds, we'd go to the Walmart store or to the grocery store, and there'd be some parents with bratty kids screaming at the checkout counter for candy and crying and throwing a big fit. And we said, they'll never be our kids! They'll never do that. Because we will train them right to behave themselves in public. And lo and behold, one day, our happy perfect families at Walmart, all of us being so godly and holy, took our groceries up to the checkout line, and there in the checkout line is all those tempting items that kids want. And my son said, I want that. And my wife said, no, in those holy, reverential manner. That did not appease my son at that time. He began to throw a fit and cry and scream, I want that! We became one of those parents. We hung our head in shame and embarrassment. And I said, that's just, he's my wife's son. No doubt there are times when you and I can disappoint the Father. But my Bible says in Hebrews 11:16 that God is never ashamed to be their God. I've done in my life some things that I wouldn't want anybody else to know. There's some things in my closet, my skeleton in my closet, that in my youth that I wouldn't want anybody else to hear about. Just as you have. But my Father knows what's in my closet. My Father knows my failures, my insecurities, my shortcomings. He never says this, I'm ashamed that you're my son. But when I came back to the Lord several years ago, he gave me a robe that says, you belong to me. You're mine. He put a ring on my finger that says, you're my son. I'm going to verify that I identify with you. He put new shoes on my feet that says, let's walk together. You see, there's great compassion with the Father. And this man was worthy of being a prodigal son. Today I want to encourage you two ways. Dads, we can't always control what our children do, especially as adults. They must decide for themselves who they'll serve. They must decide that they'll live godly and cherish this old book. But if they don't, Will you maintain a godly home? Will you be worthy of being a prodigal son so he has a home to come home to one day? Then I want to encourage those that perhaps today in your heart you may be far from God. More than his Father, there's a Heavenly Father that says to you, come home. Come home. And he's watched for you. He looks down the road for you, wondering, will this be the day? Will this be the week? Will this be the Sunday that my son comes home? He watches for you. And there in his house, for you is a robe waiting. For you is a ring just for you. For you, there's shoes. For you, there's a fatted calf waiting to be killed and slaughtered so they may rejoice again. Today, if you're far from God, my invitation to you is not to come and be my friend, to be my church member, to be somebody here at Old Pass. My invitation to you is come back to the Father who's not changed. Who's not changed. Who's full of love and compassion, ready to forgive. Let him dress you. Let him walk with you. Let him feed you this morning. Father, today we come to you in closing. Thank you, Father, for your great love. Lord, there's probably not one of us today that cannot say in our hearts that at one time we've not been a prodigal. Thank you, dear God, for loving us, for having a place we can come back to. Now, God, I ask you this morning that you'd be with our fathers today. And Lord, there's many of us today where our kids as adults have broken our hearts. Maybe have not chosen the way we've raised them. May we, Father, today maintain a godly home, a refuge, that, Lord, when they hit the bottom and come back to themselves, they'll have a place to return, a place called home. Save those who we say this morning. Encourage the hearts of Christians, I ask today. Let's all stand together. As we're standing together this morning, the pandemic has...